preach a little bit tonight out of the Old Testament and a little bit out of the New Testament and start Genesis and end Revelation. It's going to be a long night, praise God. No, I won't start in Genesis. I started in Genesis the other night, so I'm going to start in Exodus this time. Praise the Lord. I'd like to call this one, this might be a little different than anything you've heard before, but I'm going to call this one, People Resist Change. And I want to start in Exodus chapter 5. Not that we're hard-headed or anything, but sometimes we are, let's face it. Well, I'm from Missouri, you know, and that's where all the mules are from. Mules are known for being hard-headed. I heard this guy one time, he had this mule, and this guy went to visit with him, and he was getting ready to go work with these mules, and he walked out there with a tube before, and he hits the mule in the forehead as hard as he could hit him. You know, the city guy said, "What do you do that for?" He said, "Well, this is a good mule. Does a lot of work, but you just got to get his attention first." And God's wanting to do a good work in us, but he's got to get our attention first. And I hope this does it. Praise God. In Exodus chapter 5, and I want to start with verse 5, and I'm talking about Israel here. God has some good things for us, but the devil, as we know, is always there to thwart us, right? Well, the devil knows that our human nature resists change. We do. Now, how many of us have furniture in our living room that's been there for 45 years and has never been moved, okay? How many of us drive the same way to work every day when there's 100 other ways you can drive to work? How many of us do the same thing day after day when we say, "Oh, I sure wish my life wasn't so boring. I sure wish I could do something different." And you have the power to do something different, but you won't, right? Well, Israel here in verse 5, Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are many, and you make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the brick which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them, and you shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words.' And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, 'Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye and get you straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished.' So the people were scattered abroad through all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw." You see, these people didn't have enough. There was a shortage there, right? They had heretofore had enough straw to make their bricks for Pharaoh, but being they wanted to start going serving God, then Pharaoh said, "Well, if they got enough time to think about going serving God, then they need more work." Well, the devil's always like that. The minute you set out to serve God, he's going to do what he can to make your life miserable. And he did this too. And these people were in a situation where they did not have enough. Now, Israel got many times in the situation where they did not have enough because of their resistance to change. God wanted to change their hearts and take them the easy way. But they're like Missouri mules. They want to do things their way. We're like that. We want to do things our way. We resist change. You know, you look at rivers and they flow in the same old banks year after year after year. Why? Well, because it's easier to go the path of least resistance. It's easier to go the way you've always gone. I don't know how many women live with men that are abusive, and they continue to do it because they resist change. It's easier to stay in a situation, even if it's an unpleasant situation, than it is to make a change. Why is that? Why are people like that? I don't know. I didn't make people. I just look at them and observe. But we resist change. Here it is, the Israelites here lived in captivity 400 years. And they continued to live in it. You know, there was enough of them that they could have rose up at any time against Egypt and took the place over. But rather than change their lives, they lived by taking the path of least resistance, and so they stayed in bondage. We say, "Oh, I wish my life had changed." Well, unless somebody forcibly changes your life from outside, you're not very likely to ever see a change in your life, because most of us resist making a change on our own. I worked for the Missouri Highway Patrol for 21 and a half years, and basically a dead-end job. I got as high as I could go in that job the first 3 years I worked there, and from there it was dead-end. Finally, at the end, I saw myself as getting old and wondering, could I have really done better for myself somewhere else? And one day it hit me, I'm not going to be an old man wondering if I could have made it Like, I was doing furniture repair on the side, and I was making $50, $75 a month fixing furniture, sometimes $200 a month. I knew I had a talent, and I knew the market was there. But rather than change, I kept going the same old way, working this dead-end job that I didn't like, because, like everybody else, I resisted change. Well, finally, when I was diagnosed with liver cancer and melanomas, I still wanted to stay on the highway patrol. And 1 month, the month I was diagnosed with cancer, I found that I had a big increase in my paycheck that month, and I knew I hadn't got a promotion, and I got to look, and they didn't take out my hospitalization insurance. And I thought, they've took it out for all the 21 years I've been there. What's going on? Then I got a letter the next day saying that they declined to insure me anymore. Why? Well, because I had just been diagnosed with a terminal disease, and I was going to start being expensive to them. So they just refunded my insurance money. So God had been trying to get me to quit that patrol job and go full-time in my furniture repair for quite some time, but I resisted change. Well, when other things happened, like, for example, I was going to die in a month, and then I had no insurance. I had no more motivation to stay at the highway patrol. It was like I had the whole rug yanked out from under me. So therefore, it was time for a change. Well, thank God, God, when he wants to change things, it's going to be for the good. Well, it didn't look like it was good. No job, no insurance, a death sentence. Did it look like it was working out for the good? Well, God saw that I wasn't going to change, so he was going to tweak things a little bit to make me change. I'm glad he did. I look back on it. It didn't look too good at the time, but I look back on it and I think, oh, Lord, why didn't you do that years sooner? But we resist change. These people in Israel here, see, they lived 400 years in captivity, and they could have changed it any time they wanted to. There was enough of them, but they resisted change. And so, finally, God had to do something. He sent Moses, and he said, I've seen the cry of the people. I have got to get you out of this. And so, Moses led them out of Egypt, and God was showing them so much grace. He wasn't not only going to take them out of Israel, out of Egypt, and out of their slavery, but he was going to send them out with interest, gold, money, a lot of money. Isn't that just like God? He blesses. He pays us the change. He paid Israel the change. But oh, that wasn't good enough. They got out in the desert, and when Moses was up in the mountain for 40 days with God, they griped and they made themselves a golden calf. Oh, I like what they said. Well, we just threw the gold in the fire and it came out a calf. Yeah, right. And then they griped and mumbled because they were in the wilderness and they wanted to go back. You see, they were still resisting the change. They were free of bondage. They were now in a land where God was giving them manna. And we go over in Exodus chapter 16, verse 16. They were now no longer in the land of not enough, but they were in the land of just enough. Verse 16, it says, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it, and this is talking about the manna, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did mete it out with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. See, they had just enough, just enough. Now, sometimes you go from the land of not enough, and you got more month left at the end of your paycheck. And finally, things maybe start getting a little bit better. Then you run out of money the day your payday comes. That's just enough. You had just enough to get by. These people had just enough to get by, but they wanted to go back to the land of not enough. They were resisting the Holy Spirit. Many times we do the same thing. God's wanting to take us into a better place. We'd rather stay where we're comfy, even though if we don't like it. It's familiar, so we want to change. Like a fish, you know, like floating downstream. Takes any old dead fish can float downstream. You know, it takes a live one to go upstream. God wants some live fish here. He wants people that are willing to make a change, not only in our life, but make a change in your neighborhood, make a change in your town, make a change in your nation for God. But we resist change. We want to just roll on, roll with the flow. You know, if you drop a cork in the sink and you pull this plug out of the sink, the cork's going to go with the flow, right? Where's the cork going to go? Down the drain. If we go with the flow, folks, we're just going to go down the drain. We got to be willing to make a change and do things in our life that we've not done before. And sometimes these things are very uncomfortable, but they got to be done. Well, we go here from a land of just enough that we can go over here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10. And it says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Well, see, now here is a place of more than enough. And God sent the 12 spies of Israel into the land of Canaan to spy it out. And they saw that it was good. They come back with huge clusters of grapes. They saw that the land was indeed flowing with milk and honey. And God says, go possess the land. But they resisted change. They saw the good land. They saw that it was good. Oh, but there's grasshoppers in the land. Us. We see ourselves as grasshoppers. We see our limitations. And we look at the good things God wants put before us. And, oh, that's too hard. I can't do that. And we resist. Yeah, you laugh. We think, isn't that funny? But let's look at our own lives. How often has God wanted to take us into our land of milk and honey? And we resist Him and say, I can't do that. I'm more comfortable here in this land of just enough. I'm more comfortable here in this land of not enough, and I'll spend my life moaning, groaning, boo-hooing, and bawling, squalling to God because I don't have enough. When God said, go possess the land, oh, it's too hard. God's not asking you to overcome the land. He just asks you to go possess it. We resist change, and Christianity requires change, does it not? When we become a Christian, we're supposed to leave our old life behind us. Things are going to change, whether we want it to change or not. It changes. Everything changes. Our eternal destiny changes. We become, instead of a person who is going to spend all eternity in the lake of fire, we're taking up a new residence in the kingdom of heaven. That's a change, okay? And it's a good change. And people want it, but they resist doing what it takes to get it. What's it take? Believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, but we'd rather believe in the way we've been doing things all along. We'd rather believe in our way of doing things, our way of thinking. We'd rather do it our way, like Missouri mules. Hard-headed. And I know what hard-headed's about. I mean, I come from a whole line of hard-headed people. I'm trying to use that stubbornness now for the kingdom of God instead of against the kingdom of God. Stubbornness can be a good thing if it's used in the right way. But we resist change. I'll tell you what, change is not for wimps. It really isn't. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever moved during your lifetime, but you may think, well, I want to move. I want to live someplace else. But when it comes down to packing the boxes and it starts getting close to moving time, there's some resistance that starts gathering up. Here. Well, I think maybe, you know, I could just go ahead and just forget about this moving and I could stay where I'm at. It's not really so bad where I'm at. I did that when God was wanting to move us into a brand new $250,000 house and I was satisfied to live in a $20,000 house. It wasn't a bad house. It just wasn't where God wanted me. But I was resisting change. Well, when it finally came down to we were packing the boxes and we was loading the moving van, I was starting to really find out how hard it was to change. I had lived in that house 20 years. I could wake up in the middle of the night, not turn a light on, walk any place in that house and know where everything was. And I was about to leave familiar territory and go to a place I'd never been before. I was so excited about the change, but when it came right down to making that change, it was kind of scary. Many times, making changes in your life really is scary, even though it's exciting and exhilarating to think about, I want to do something new. When it comes right down to it, that change is hard. Change not for wimps. And that's why God has called us to be Christians, because we're not wimps. We're champions. We're the can-do-it people. Let's go over to Philippians 3:14. Philippians 3:14. It says, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God Christ Jesus. Well, that means you're leaving something behind. Like I said, Christianity is all about change. It's all about leaving your old life behind. It's all about leaving your old lusts, your old desires behind. It's all about leaving the mindset behind that I'm not good enough, I can't do it. It's all about pressing toward and stretching toward something that you're not there yet. The goal, please God. You go over here in chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens. Well, does that mean you can do anything? Can I go out and be a star basketball player? Well, no. Well, but it says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. No, what it really means, I can do all things that Christ is calling me for to do. Because if He calls you, He is obligated to give you strength to do it. Many times we call ourselves to do something and then we try to do it on the strength of the Holy Spirit, and the strength of the Holy Spirit's not there because God didn't call us to do it in the first place. And so we're trying to do it on our own. And that's where we get in trouble. We try to do things on our own that God never tried to tell us to do. And the things He did tell us to do, we resist them. Well, I just want to do it the way I've been doing it. Same old, same old. You know, like the rut around the mountain. The mountain doesn't ever really get any taller. It's just that the rut gets deeper and the mountain appears taller because we keep going around the mountain. We keep crying out to God, God, I really want to change my life. And He says, okay, change it. Well, I don't know if I really want to change it. That's what it really amounts to. times do we really want to? Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, and I'd like to use verse 39 here. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. You see, maybe somebody that's used, they want to drink Coors beer all the time, and somebody says, hey, Michelob's better. Now, I'll just stay with my Coors. Maybe somebody is offered a better job. They work in the factory on the assembly line, and the boss says, you know, you've done a good job here all these years. I think I'm going to move you up into the office. Well, I don't know. I'm comfortable here. Oh, but it pays better. Well, I don't know. I think I'd just rather stay here because I know what I'm doing, and I'm comfortable doing this. Many, many times we resist the new thing that God wants to do. Right? All this week, all this last week, all the last 2 weeks, God's bringing you into a new place. But are you really, in your heart of hearts, are you embracing that change, or are you resisting it and saying, well, it's good, but I think I'll just keep doing what I'm doing because it's easier. I'll tell you, what you're doing is not easy. What you're doing is hard. What God is calling you to do is easy. Getting the courage to make that change is what's hard, but yet He will give you the strength to do it every time. He's the one that's calling you to change. Therefore, God is obligated to give you the grace and the strength to make that change. It says over in, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. Jeremiah 2, verse 11. It says, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be astonished, O ye heathen, at this, and be horribly afraid, and be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. We see here fountains of living water, lit water, fountains are moving, are they not? Lagoons, cisterns, dead water, not moving. You look at a lagoon out on a farm and it's green. Why? Because it's never moving. You don't see God portrayed as a lagoon. You see Him, He portrays Himself as fountains bubbling forth of living water. He wants to put life into you. He wants to take you on the move with Him. And we want to sit in the lagoon and stagnate. Oh, but it's easier in a lagoon. Well, yeah, if you're in a boat, if you're in a river, you got to paddle. If you're in a lagoon, you can just sit there, okay? It's easier to sit in the lagoon than it is to paddle in the river. You know, the Lord spoke to me one time. He said, Jerry, are you a paddle or are you a canoe? And I scratched my head at that one a bit, and I think, Lord, I don't quite get to what you're asking me here. And I wrote this down. He says, a canoe without a paddle drifts wherever the water takes it. A canoe without a paddle cannot go through the rapids without overturning. But the paddle can be used to propel, to speed up or to slow down, to guide the canoe safely on its journey. He said, I called you to be a paddle. He doesn't want us just floating. He wants us to make the changes. He wants us to change the water. You know, a canoe sitting in the water doesn't change the water. But a paddle inserted into the water changes the water, right? You see ripples. We're not to be canoes. We're to be paddles. We're to make the changes in this community. We're not just be floaters that just float along, going down the drain like everybody else goes down the drain. He's called us to something better than that. You know, it talks about all things and that we ask for in prayer, believe, and we'll receive. And I think it's over like in Matthew 21:22. I'm going to take a little side trip here. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You see, we're making a change in heaven. We're not being canoes. We're being paddles here. Because when we pray and we ask God for something and we're truly believing, we're making a change. We're reaching into the kingdom of heaven and pulling out that which we need, right? We're effecting a change in our life. Change in our life. You know, when you pray, you're really trying to change. You're wanting something to be different than it is right now. And then when God starts answering that prayer, then we want to resist it and go back to the way we were. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but you look at your life. Every one of us look at our life. Are we living really, quantitatively, any different today than we were 5 years ago? Are we living any different today than we were 1 year ago? Are we living any different today than we were yesterday? It seems like we're creatures of habit. You know, you might be a carpenter one day. 10 years later, you're still a carpenter. We don't see a lot of people that are a carpenter one day, and the next day they're a used car salesman. The next day after that, they're a television repairman. We tend to do the same thing over and over and over. We're creatures of habit. We resist change. We just want to get old and be just like we've been all our life. That's why we meet people we knew in grade school and they say, well, you haven't changed a bit. No, we resist change. Man, I'll tell you what, the people that knew me in grade school don't know me anymore. I'm a changed man. I got tired of being poor, downtrodden. I got tired of getting beat up on when I was a kid. I got tired of things. I've made a change. I got tired of knowing that I was going to hell, and I made a change. I changed my place of permanence. permanent residence, made a change. I've stopped resisting change because I found out every time I'm resisting God, it's keeping me in bondage someplace that I don't want to be. And then when I go belly to God about it, God says, hey, change. Well, I can't change. Why not? God changes. God started his existence in a place that was nothing, and he created a whole universe around him. I'd say God's got to change. He didn't want to live in nothingness. He started creating big and beautiful things, and he created us in his image to change our world, to make it better. Are we changing our world, or are we being changed by our world? Have you ever thought about that? Are you changing your world, or are you being changed by your world? For a long time, I was being changed by my world. I was one of these kind of people that I was a reactionary. I dealt with the situations when they hit me. Whatever happened to me, come down the road of life to me, I dealt with it when it came to me. And I decided it was much more interesting to start letting life deal with me instead. Let me make some changes. Let life deal with me. Instead of life telling me what I was going to do, I started telling life what I was going to do. Let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. I know all of us know this verse, but I'm going to reinforce this to you tonight. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's got a good plan for you if you don't resist him. Every one of us are going to be molded and changed. We talk about God being the potter and we being the clay. But see, we are trying to get this round backwards. We want to be the potter and let God be the clay. God's got a better plan. If we'll let him be the potter and us be the clay, he will mold us and he will make us and he will change us, and we may not like it. We may be getting squeezed and we may get pounded on. We may be getting spun around on the potter's wheel a few times and we may not like it, but God's going to make us into a thing of beauty if we'll quit resisting him. He's got a better idea than you got. He's got a better idea than I got. He's been around a little bit longer than any of us. Now, I mean, he's older than my old English literature teacher, and I mean, she's old, and God was around before her. We can have many, many good things from God if we'll just quit resisting him. And I'm going to just go just a little bit longer, and not very much longer. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's change, would you not say? That verse absolutely means change is going to happen in your life. Has happened way back here when Christ Jesus went to the cross for you. He changed things for you. He changed your place of eternal residence for you. Now he's going to try to change your thought patterns. He's going to try to change your flesh. He's going to try to do everything change. You know, you may be sick in your body, and God says if you'll use his word, he'll make a change in your flesh. He'll make a change with his word. God's not satisfied just to change your spirit. God's not satisfied just to change your mind and emotions. God's not satisfied just to change your flesh. He wants to change all of that, plus he wants to change your whole future and bring you into a place that's so much better than anything you could imagine. The Lord told me one time, he says, I have a plan for you bigger, better, and than you could possibly imagine. And so I started going to work trying to imagine. And you know what he told me? He says, you're not thinking big enough, Jerry. You're still thinking too small. Oh, God, I can think of some big plans of what I'd like to do. You're still thinking too small. God can bring about these changes if we don't resist him. 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. I'm going to close with that one. 1 Thessalonians 3. Verse 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. This is why. To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. You see, God's got a plan if we don't resist him. It's not a matter of can you change. Truthfully, it's a matter of will you change? Are you willing to let God have his way in your life? Make the changes, make the tweaks that he's got to do in your life. Oh, they may not always be real pleasant. He may take you away from some friends that you've had for years. He may up and move you someplace you've never been before. He may put you in a different job than you've ever been before. He may put you in pulpit preaching or something. You never know. But God is a God of change. He never stands still. God's always moving. And if you want to run with God, you got to run with him. You're not going to go any place with God standing still, because you see, God's not in the I was thing. He's I am. Was is past tense yesterday. He's in a new place today. He's wanting to bring you with him to that new place if you don't resist him anymore. Let's just make this confession today. Lord God, I'm going to quit resisting your changes. I'm going to let you take me to the good place that you have for me. I will to change Because it pleases you. And if it pleases you, it pleases me. Amen. Praise God. That's all I got for you for this time. Second pastor. Thank you for purchasing teachings from Life Healing Ministries. We would like to also invite you to visit our website at www.lifehealingministries.org. And if this teaching has been a blessing to you, we would like to ask you to be a financial partner with Life Healing Ministries to help us to work together to take the gospel all over the world. You can reach us at area code 573-690-4367 anytime that you need prayer or counsel or any other thing you need to contact us for. We're there for you. God bless you.